You'll get to meet Abby in a few moments, but let's have her open up with a tune to play. Join me as we welcome violinist, fiddler, Abby Adams. Wow, that is amazing. That's Abby Adams.
Looks like I just broke an Easter
egg. I thought so. Did you bring a spare?
Unfortunately not, but I can get by without
one. Are you sure?
I think so.
I turned my head away, and then I looked, and I said, either you've left a long tail at the end of that string. Do we have any violin strings? Probably not.
That's all right.
That's what you just played. Was amazing. And I'll let you, do you need a few minutes to adjust? There's time.
Let me just take a second. All set.
I would like to know a little bit more about you. Are you from Pittsburgh or where did you grow up?
No, I'm actually originally from Florence, Massachusetts, out on the other side of Boston.
It's hard to get east of Boston.
It's kind of west. It's near the Berkshires, the other end of the state.
Okay. I know. Now, my big reference is Chicopee.
Yeah, actually, my mom's originally from Chicopee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our first technical director here grew up in Chicopee, which I think was a little west of Springfield, Mass.
Yeah. No, we're just north of there.
Because it's funny, when I first met him, I said, oh, dear Boston, which you probably hear all the time because people think that's all you got in Massachusetts. So I learned. Were you exposed to a lot of folk music growing up?
Yeah, I started playing when I was 4, and originally on classical violin. And my mom, or one of my teachers, gave me a fiddle book once, and it kind of just blossomed out of there. I did a lot of fiddle competitions, just playing around in the community. It was a lot of fun for me.
That's great. Now, how did you come to Pittsburgh? What was your path like?
In applying to schools, I wanted to go to school for music, and Carnegie Mellon was on my list. And so that's what brought me here. I'm studying classical violin there.
That's great, and it's a great school. I went to Carnegie Mellon, and one of my favorite things to do, and this is back a while ago, was to sit and study at places where I could hear people like you practicing. The practice rooms would often have open windows, or you could just hear, and it was always a really great great sound. Are you still in the midst of your study there?
Or? Yeah, I'm in my last year, my last semester.
This is it.
So this is it, yeah.
And how was the transition to Pittsburgh for you?
I really liked it. It's very different from, the town that I grew up in. It's a lot busier. I mean, I'm from a smaller college town, but still, the music scene's really great. I've really enjoyed getting to know the city.
I'm glad. It is different, and it's something. Now, you have no Boston or no New England accent at all.
I think so, too. I've got a couple of friends that say every once in a while it comes out.
No, I don't hear it. And I say that very affectionately because my mom was born in Boston, and I had a New England accent at one point when I was a real little kid. Because, go figure. She's the one I listened to most of all.
Yeah, I do have friends. I've been called out on my use of the word wicked before, though.
Wicked. I'll use wicked
every
now and then. Wicked snow, wicked cold, wicked big St. Patrick's Day parade.
Yeah.
Abby Adams is here. She is going to be at the Park House on the north side tonight. It's a small, intimate setting. It should be a lot of fun. One of the nice things about the Park House, they treat their musicians well, and it's just a simple go and hang out. You know, I don't think there's any cover charge or anything. I'm almost sure there isn't. You just enjoy what Z has to offer at the Park House, the owner. I want to learn more about how you came to play the way that you do, but why don't we have you do another song first? Can you tell me anything about what you just played?
That piece was called Magnetic. I think I wrote it probably about 3 to 4 years ago. It's kind of just all the stuff that I do kind of stems out of fiddle and classical and merging the two.
I hear that.
Yeah.
There's definitely both idioms there and kind of a tension between them that's really fun. What would you like to do next?
I'm going to play a piece of mine called Interstellar, mainly because I was inspired by the soundtrack of the movie Interstellar.
Thank you. Abby Adams, playing live here at the Saturday Light Brigade. I have a picture of Abby on her Facebook page. Full disclosure, though, I took it. And it's very hard to get a picture of Abby while she's playing because she's constantly in motion. So you'll see a little bit of motion there. I'm sure Chad will have a better picture of her when we archive her performance at Neighborhood Voices. I want to talk a little bit about the looper that you're using, the looping pedal.
Sure.
And I've seen lots and lots and lots of folks use looping pedals. You are among the best at using it. You as you are using it, and maybe you don't feel as comfortable as what I'm about to say, but you truly seem to be using it as a musical instrument as opposed to simply technology or and I don't want that to sound negative towards other people. I've seen it. It just seems really natural with you and that you've worked really hard. It's almost like you've practiced and rehearsed and studied how to use it as much as you have the violin itself. Am I right about that?
Yeah. I mean, I started working with a loop pedal eight years ago.
Wow.
Now. Wow.
Okay.
I have to think about that. I'm a senior in college and I was a freshman in high school. But I was originally inspired to pick up the electric violin, loop violin, after I saw a YouTube performance of, do you know Andrew Bird?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I had never known that he did that kind of stuff, and I saw him doing like a live basement sessions, and the sound just took me.
I actually never knew he did that kind of stuff either.
Yeah. And I think my impetus to working with this or the kind of stuff that I was playing around with is that I loved playing with other people. And I was in a small town, and in high school I would drive out to Boston on the weekends 2 hours each way to be able to like play music with other people. So most of the week it was just me and this pedal. So I guess I'm recording tracks and pseudo-ly playing with other people in that way, if that makes a little sense.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you're able, it's been a long time since I've played around with and if you're a looping pedal is just, you know, a real-time digital recorder that's configured in a way that you can add layer upon layer upon layer. And a lot of people, when first using it, I mean, it's kind of like you could sort of see. It's almost like watching somebody do a difficult math program, you know,
it's,
the brow furrows. And
yeah.
And it's quite apparent if you didn't get it exactly right.
Yeah.
And you really, you seem just so adept at doing it. Did it come pretty naturally to you or did you have to?
Since it was so long ago, I can't remember the actual learning curve. But I do remember trying to I was copying Andrew Bird's songs with him doing it and trying to figure out how he maneuvered it.
Mm.
And I figured out, I don't know, what worked with me. I usually bounce around when I play anyways, so just to keep time. So I think just hitting my foot on something to the beat came naturally.
Could you do a little example of,
yeah.
And we can sort of talk through what you do?
Sure.
I think that might be kind of neat.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So usually when I'm writing a song or starting out with a song, I start with the main beat or the main amount of time that I'm going to use throughout the piece. Because if I use something shorter or longer, and if I want to do something shorter or longer later, it might not line up right. So let me demonstrate. I also have an octave pedal with me that I use to make it sound like a cello, which is
I thought I heard that.
Secretly, okay. What I think every violinist really wants to be able to play is the cello, but maybe that's just me. So let me think of something. So I'm going to lay down a beat on 4 measures so I can do 4 measures of chords.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, so 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, so you did four, three, four, and now you're gonna play. I'll wait till it comes around.
Yeah.
Comes the loop.
Then you can stack harmonies on top of it.
Here it comes again. Seven, eight. And now she's letting it rest, and we're hearing those three parts together. Seven, eight. It's really amazing.
So that last bit that I have to lay down, sometimes the way this pedal works is that it compresses each track as soon as I put it down. So the first track that I ever put down, by the end of the time, I will be barely able to hear it. So sometimes I keep having to relayer some other harmonies or some other rhythms so I'm able to distinguish, like, oh, this is the downbeat.
And is that a feature or a shortcoming of the equipment, do you think?
It's probably a shortcoming, but I think I haven't done a lot of research into other loop pedals, which I probably should. But I think a lot of them have that feature just so it's able to handle the amount that you're – handle the amount of storage that you're giving it.
Yeah, and plus, I would think it would have to be predictable rather than arbitrary, because it would be too much to actually mix yourself as you're playing if you want certain tracks to be louder.
Yeah, sometimes I think with certain songs I do kind of do that. In the beginning, I'll play something a little quieter because I know I want to bring something else in that I want higher in the mix.
Is it obvious to you how to finish that 16th or the last measure such that it matches up with the first? Is that just completely intuitive so that the loop works?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't really think about it.
I kind of think about it. It's like, oh, this is the main loop that I have. What chord progression can I put over this that isn't boring? If it repeats too many times, it gets a little, you get tired of it. So that's why I kind of sometimes stop that loop and try to go to a different track and start a whole new one, and then I'll go back to that one. So the song somehow has some variety to it.
Yeah, it's really interesting to watch you do it, and to listen as you do it, too. It's really fun. Do music schools teach use of loop? I know there's certainly digital music. Ricardo has a great lab at Carnegie Mellon. Do you think a looping pedal is something you just noodle around with and figure out? Or
I would say it's definitely something you figure out, and it's a self kind of research process. Because, you can do a bunch of different instruments with loop pedals or pedals in general. I think if there was like a class trying to introduce you to all these different pedals and what they do, that'd be kind of cool, because I know there's stuff out there that I would love to use, and I'm constantly looking for different things to edit my sound or put something new in. So,
this is Abby Adams, Massachusetts born and raised, now in Pittsburgh at Carnegie Mellon University, and on the north side tonight at the Park House, right on East Ohio Street, where she'll be playing at 8 o'clock there. And here we are focusing on the loop pedal, but she's a fine musician in her own right, of course.
Oh, thank you.
Kind of what goes into the loop pedal is not going to be, what comes out of it is only going to be as good as what goes into it. Do you like to compose? Is that a particular passion of yours?
Yeah, these are all self-compositions, I would say, and I'm actually writing a three-movement loop violin piece for my final senior recital.
What do you think you'll do when you're through with school? I sound like one of your parents. I'm sorry, but I'm just curious.
Oh, no. I recently got accepted into Guildhall School of Music for a master's program in jazz violin. So I'm going to be studying jazz for the next 2 years over there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Where is the school?
In London.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That'll be a great time. Well, we probably have time for two more.
Okay.
If you are good with that.
Yeah.
And what would you like to do next?
I'm going to do another original. I call it Drop the Bass for obvious reasons once you hear the tune.
Thank you. Wow, that was Abby Adams. And what was that song called again?
Drop the Bass.
Drop the Bass. And a question for you, as you were Boeing, there were some times when you were Boeing in real time. We were hearing the cello sound in real time as you were Boeing, am I right?
Yeah.
So when she described before the effect of lowering an octave to sound like a cello, which Abby's words, not mine, is every violinist's dream, is to sound like a cello.
Maybe just mine.
I took it to mean that you would sample yourself playing the violin at that pitch and then drop it. But no, you actually had a real-time vocoder, so to speak, that changed the voice of the instrument then. That was really neat.
Yeah. It can also change it up an octave if I so choose.
Or a cellist could be a violinist.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really fun to have you here and to listen to you play. And I hope you'll consider checking out Abby tonight when she is at the Park House. Are you playing anywhere else in days to come?
In days to come. Not off the top of my head, not within the next month. But... yeah.
You never know.
I never know, yeah.
We have a link to her Facebook page, and while she's – when do you leave for London? Is it in the fall?
Yeah, in the fall.
So you have a little time in Pittsburgh.
I have a little time in Pittsburgh till the end of May.
Have you been there yet to see the school?
Yeah, I have actually.
Oh, you probably had to audition, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I did a semester abroad the other year over there, so –
well, I wish you the best of luck. It's really fun to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
What would you like to end up with?
I'm going to end with a song of mine that I combined a classical piece, Perpetual Mobile, by Novacek, and one of my originals. And this will be interesting to see how this goes without an E string.
Yes.
So I don't know.
Abby's missing a string today. And maybe more. But, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. My shoulder rest just fell out for a second.
And this is our last chance to talk. Is there anything else you may have wanted to mention that I didn't get a chance to ask you about?
Not in particular.
Okay. Not our last chance ever. Just this morning.
Just this morning. No, just thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Here's Abby Adams.